So if you can find Luke 13, 10 to 21 in your Bible, it should be in your newsletter as well. This is going to read. Going to hear God speak to us today. Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had been had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan bound for 18 years, be loosened from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. And he said to them, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was leavened." Let's pray, and then Bruce will come up. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, through it we can understand you. We can know you more. We can know how the word of truth, your gospel, really does grow and make an impact. Makes an impact in us and makes an impact in our community. And Lord, we pray for Bruce as he comes and brings us a message this morning, that we will hear Jesus speak to us through these words. And we'll hear and be challenged by Jesus once again. We pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, so this is working. That's good. Do you want to grab that, Jay? Yeah? Thanks, mate. G'day, everyone. It's good to be with you. And it's been good to spend a weekend with some of you, on and off. There's a bit of an outline of what I want to say there. I wonder, do you think that it's true? That's the little things in life that matter. For example, I've bought my wife Robin a number of different things for a birthday over the years. I once bought her a toaster, real romantic. I bought her some perfume. Toaster, perfume. Remember, I bought her a really nice sugar bowl, and once I bought her an eternity ring. Out of all those things, which do you think matters the most to her? Yeah, the bloke says the toaster. It's the eternity ring, isn't it? That's the smallest of the lot. That little thing is the most precious. It's the little things in life that matter. It applies in every aspect of life, I think. I mean, it's small words that matter, small questions. Will you marry me? You know? Yes. Very small question, very small answer. But around those small words, people's lives change. The reason I want you to think about that this morning is because that's what this passage is about. It's meant to teach us that in the kingdom of God, it's the little things that matter the most. And I think that's different than the way we think. Look at verse 18. On the passage, just before this, Jesus healed a crippled woman, and then in verse 18 he intentionally asks the question. Okay, he said, "Therefore, What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? I wonder how you would answer that question. What is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? I mean, the kingdom of God just naturally seems big, doesn't it? Think about it. God made the universe. God made the universe, and so we can't even comprehend the universe. So if God made the universe, God must be pretty big. And so if God lives in his kingdom, then the kingdom of God must be just enormous, mustn't it? Like, beyond comprehension. When you think about the kingdom of God, big has to be a word you'd think about, isn't it? Just naturally. Kingdom of God, big. God's big. It's kind of hard to know where to start to answer Jesus' question. But Jesus asked his question in an extraordinary moment, didn't he? Remember what happened? Jesus had just healed a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She'd been crippled. It said she was bent over. You know, imagine this lady walking around, unable to straighten up for 18 years. Is there anyone here 18 years old? It's a long time, isn't it? 18 years. 18 years ago, I had dark brown hair. 18 years ago, I never had a mobile phone. 18 years ago, all my kids still lived at home. Now I've got 5 grandchildren and none of them live at home. 18 years is a long time. This poor woman has this incredible affliction, this pain, constantly for 18 years. That's big, isn't it? That's big. But Jesus heals her in an instant, just like that. And he heals her so simply, by simply speaking and touching. It's no effort, is it? Woman, you are freed from your disability, and he touched her. I mean, how extraordinary. And later on, when the synagogue bloke goes off, he says it's like, watering your donkey, letting your donkey off the lead. It's such a simple thing. An astonishing moment in her life, an astonishing moment in that community of people, this woman. 18 years of looking for healing, trying every... Can you imagine her? She'd have been to every healing guru. She would have tried everything. One day, a new rabbi walks into church and says, woman, you're freed from your disability. Bang, all gone. Amazing. Well, the reactions were as instantaneous to this miracle as the miracle itself. She stands up, it's like she's never had an aching bone in her body. In verse 13, she reacts by glorifying God. Verse 14, the synagogue ruler starts rabbiting on about not working on the Sabbath. He's offended. Verse 17 says, all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. So, big change in the people, wasn't there? In her, in the people that saw it. But we mustn't miss the point here. This was more than just a healing. In the controversy that ensued, the synagogue ruler described the woman as a daughter with the synagogue ruler. Jesus described her as a daughter of Abraham. She's a daughter of God's eternal covenant. Jesus also describes her affliction as being bound by Satan. So there's a lot going on here. It's not just a healing, there's more going on. This is a demonstration of Jesus' power over the power of Satan. Just previous to this, Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God... Is that a bit loud, is it? Sorry, I can't whisper. Okay. previous to this, Jesus said, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom of God has come to you. So what these people had witnessed in this healing of this woman was a tangible, actual, real space-time example of the reality of the power of the kingdom of God. I reckon it would have been the most exciting church service they'd ever been to, don't you reckon? This this woman healed. So that's what happens for Jesus to ask his question. See, verse 18, he said, therefore, he just healed this woman. They'd seen the kingdom of God at work. He said, therefore, that it's because of this miracle, what is the kingdom of God like? Now, if Jesus had stopped there and said, what is the kingdom of God like, and let them answer the question, what would they have said? You can tell me, what would they have said? Maybe. Amazing. They'd have said, it's amazing. This woman, 18 years, and you've healed her with a word and a touch. It's powerful. It's awesome. They would have said, it's wonderful, wouldn't they? If we'd have been there, we'd have said the same thing. So Luke tells us, therefore, in the light of this incredible miracle and the crowd's reaction, Jesus asks this question, but he doesn't let them answer it. He doesn't let them say, awesome, powerful, amazing, wonderful. Jesus answers the question for them, and look at his answer. It is just astonishing. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, they had a saying in those days, something, you know, if we say something small, we say it's like a drop in the ocean. They would say it's as small as a mustard seed. It is insignificant. Jesus does this enormous miracle and says, what is the kingdom of God like? It's like a mustard seed. What is the kingdom of God like? It's like this little bit of yeast this woman mixes into this massive amount of dough, 3 meshes of flour. But Jesus isn't trying to be funny. No, he was saying something was true and real. So true, so important, that if we miss this point, then we will never understand the kingdom of God. We'll never enter the kingdom of God if we don't understand this, that it's the small things in the kingdom of God that matters. Jesus was telling them that as in life, so in the kingdom of God, it's the little things that matter the most. If this is really what the kingdom of God is like, then the first thing these parables teach us is the absolute necessity of a small beginning with God. The kingdom of God, while it may seem big, must start like the small planting of a tiny seed, a very small amount of yeast. I think this is a trap we all fall into with God. I've found over the years that people come to God for big things. You know, you've seen that? I guess it makes sense. There's no one bigger than God, so when something big happens in their life, like maybe a marriage breakdown or sickness, relationship trouble, drought, all those things, people just naturally turn to God. Big things happen, I've got to turn to a big God. Or on the other hand, people seem to think that because God is big and important, they have to make a big impression. I used to be a minister at a small church in a country town. Now, people just used to turn up at Christmas and Easter, and they'd always try to make a big impression. You know, they'd shake my hand till it nearly fell off. They'd write out a big cheque, what they thought was a big cheque. They're trying to make a big impression because God is big. Well, Jesus' parable sends a warning to us all. Don't try to impress God. You won't. You can't. This is not the place to start with God. You must start small. Did you notice that it's not something that you do? No, you begin with God through something he does. He plants in you a tiny seed, a small bit of yeast, and then watches expectantly for it to grow. So it's not about you, it's about God and what God does. So what is the seed? Well, in the Gospels, in the Bible, the seed is the gospel. The yeast is the influence of the gospel. What's the gospel? It's simply this: repent and believe. Repent, turn away from the things you know are wrong, and Believe in Jesus for forgiveness and help to live the way you need to live. It's as simple as that. That's the seed. The gospel, repent, turn away from the things you know are wrong and trust in Jesus for forgiveness and help to follow him. That's where everyone must begin with God. Simple as that, repentance and faith. If you don't start there, all you'll do with Jesus is what they did in the Gospels. See, they in the Gospels, they saw Jesus' power and they thought, I want to fit Jesus into my life to sort out my problems. That's not what it's about. No, we don't try and fit Jesus into our plans, we fit ourselves into his. Trust in him. I'm not sure what need you've come to church with this morning. I can imagine that there may be lots of very desperate needs. But if Jesus was here this morning, he would say to you what he's saying to them, that the place to start with him is simple. Listen to what he said. Trust what he said. We all need to start small with God. Jesus told this parable to correct their thinking. All the Jews just kept thinking big ideas about the kingdom of God. He's trying to correct their thinking. He corrects our thinking. I think if we take seriously what happened in this passage and what Jesus says here, it's very encouraging for us, very encouraging for you as a church. It's a very optimistic view of ministry in the kingdom of God. They're great parables. It's two great little parables in a great context. Because I think they make us optimistic about the kingdom of God, optimistic about ministry. You may not know, I used to be a farmer and I used to grow thousands of acres of wheat. I was always an optimistic farmer. Do you know farmers are optimistic? You know why they're optimistic? It's not because they're stupid. No, it's because they understand the power that's in a seed. They understand that when you plant that seed into fertile soil, it will produce. You know, one seed can produce 1,000 seeds of grain. It can. That's why I was optimistic. I'm going to plant all these little seeds, and they'll all grow. The power is in the seed. The same as bakers. The other parable here is about a woman who mixes yeast into sloppy dough. You make bread. You've got to be optimistic to be a baker, don't you? You get this big sloppy lump of dough, and then you get this tiny little bit of yeast, you mix it up. Why do you do it? Well, because you know that sloppy bit of dough is going to change completely into a beautiful. You know, we had the thing about the story about the dough, the bread this morning. That's Jesus' point. Jesus' point is the potential of the Word of God in people's lives, the potential in the kingdom of God because of the seed, because of the yeast. Look at verse 19. The mustard seed turns into a small tree in which birds of the air can come and rest. And the effect of the yeast is it permeates through all the dough. One small seed, 1 millimetre in diameter, turns into a tree which is like 2,000 times bigger than the seed and benefits all these others. Jesus' point is that from such small beginnings comes this enormous effect. But when you think about it, the seed and the yeast have two different things which have two different effects. One you might say is outward and one you might say is inward. The mustard seed changes outwardly. It changes from a seed into a tree. From something small and almost invisible to something which feeds people, which the birds in the air can nest in. Now in the Old Testament, there's images like this. A number of different tree images. I'll just read you one from Ezekiel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot, very small shoot, from the top of a cedar and plant it I will break off a tender sprig from the topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain, on the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will rest in it. They will find shelter in the shades of its branches. Jesus always had this image of the kingdom of God, that it starts from a small beginning and grows to something big. When you're part of the kingdom of God, he does a work in you which changes you. People will notice that. You will grow and it will be good for others. You will also be part of his overall kingdom, which grows and brings glory to God. Like God's kingdom in our world, the Christian church, which despite the ignorant views of Western critics, still remains the fastest growing movement in the world. Do you know that the fastest growing church in the Middle East at the moment is in Iran, Muslim Iran? And you know what the Iranian Christians are doing? They're taking the gospel into Afghanistan. You know, start small beginning, the kingdom of God grows. When you think about it, what began as a very small thing 2,000 years ago with one man, Jesus Christ, is something which has spread its branches around the world, even to Shepparton down under in Australia. Swan Hill. So that's the mustard seed. It changes externally. The yeast is different, though. It's more an internal change, isn't it? The change is irreversible. You can't change bread back into sloppy dough. The yeast slowly but surely permeates every part of the dough. This speaks of the change of heart that comes on people who have a small beginning with God. You hear the promise of God in the gospel. It changes your heart. Your attitudes change. You get a new life. Every part of your life starts to slowly change. Seems to me that the two effects, you know, the external effect in the mustard seed and the internal effect of the yeast, are illustrated in the woman who was bent over, who was healed. Luke makes two observations about her. He says two things, just two simple things. She straightened up and she praised God. She straightened up, that's external, isn't it? Looked at her. Because of Jesus' word, Jesus' power, she changed. But she changed internally. You praise God from the heart, don't you? You say thank you from the heart. From a woman who was sad and burdened by a crippled body to a woman who was full of joy and gratitude. It was an unmistakable change. This unmistakable change is described in verse 13. Immediately she straightened up and praised God. Now, it's common to categorise people into glass half empty or glass half full people, isn't it? Who here is a glass half empty person? You know what it means? Always just look at why things won't work. Only Rebecca. Who's a glass half full person? Oh, we've got it. So everyone else is just not a glass anything person. Yeah, okay. Good work. The truth of these parables is that it doesn't matter what kind of person you are, because it's got nothing to do with you. The kingdom of God's got nothing to do with you're optimistic or pessimistic. Christians of all people should be the most optimistic people on the planet. Why? Not because they're impressive or intelligent or great plan, none of that. No, all that matters is that we are able to think small enough to be of use in the kingdom of God. I wonder, do you think small enough to be useful in God's kingdom? To think small enough to realise that reading the Bible with someone, telling the gospel to someone and praying with them is actually the most significant thing you can do in anyone's life. It's true. That is the most significant thing you can do in the kingdom of God, and for someone is to say, let's read through the gospel together. Do you think small enough to do that? You know, any of us can do it, because it's not about you, it's about the word of God. Can you read? Yep. Have you got a friend? Yep. Sit down with them and say, I'd like to read Mark's gospel with you. That is the most significant thing you can do. It's the little things in the kingdom of God that matter. You know, when you do that, you sow a seed in their life that changes them. You put the influence, the yeast of God in their life. He's at work. It will change them. Take it from an old farmer. It's sowing the seed that makes all the difference. You can think about it, you can pray about it, you can do all you like. But if you don't get out there and sow the seed, nothing's going to happen. The people in that synagogue that day, I think, had a problem in the way they thought about the kingdom of God. It was that they couldn't think small enough. They were looking for the big things. Jesus says, no. You've got to have God's word invested in your life. Now, I'm down for the weekend to try and encourage you as a church, encourage you as individual Christians. I'm the senior minister of Orange Evangelical Church. It's a pretty big church, okay? I've got a bunch of people that work there. And so it's really easy for me to think, you know, being the senior minister of Orange Evangelical Church is all about thinking big thoughts, making big plans, you know. It's not. The most important thing for me is to teach God's word, read the Bible with people, teach people so they can read the Bible. That's the most important thing. A few stories that I may or may not have told some of you before. One guy named a bloke named Wayne, who was a Kiwi. I mentioned him the other day. He's a Kiwi rugby union player, very good. He used to play with some of the current All Blacks. His life was in a total mess. Through I won't tell you all the things that were going on in his life. I went round to see him and I said, Wayne, are you serious about God, or are you just upset because your girlfriend's left you? He said, mate, my life's a mess. I need God in my life. I said, well, mate, here's Mark's gospel. I want you to read this and I'll come back in a week to talk to you about it. I said, every time you read it, just ask God to speak to you from it and to help you understand it and to get to know him. I went back a week later, I walked in. He'd become a Christian. It wasn't me. All he'd done is read Mark's gospel and ask God to help him and save him, and he became a Christian. Same thing just happened, six months ago. We mentioned a young Asian girl on Friday night, I think. So there's Jake and Annabelle. She's a Buddhist. Jake's just a total roughneck. You know, Aussie, roughneck. They got married because they got pregnant. Their life's in a complete mess. They come along to church. I go around to visit them. I said, look, do you want to get to know God? Yep. Same deal. I give them Mark's gospel. I said, read this together, will you? I'll be back in a week and we'll talk about it. I come back in a week, they'd read the whole thing. Jake, Annabelle, Jake's mum, they'd all become Christians. I said, read this and ask God to help you. Ask God to save you. See, it wasn't about me, was it? It was about them having the word of God sown into their life. Another story, this one goes back a fair way, but a woman named Fiona, who was an avid atheist, was really having a crack at me one night, and she was just rude. And I said, look, sorry, I said, have you ever read the... Oh, why would I read that rubbish? You know, have you ever read any of the Bible? Why would I read that rubbish? I said, well, I've read plenty of atheists. Until you read part of the Bible, I'm not going to talk to you again. So, and I just started talking to her husband about cows, you know, which made her grumpy and annoyed. I thought, good. she went home and she read Mark's Gospel. She came to church. About 12 months later, I met the minister in that local church. I said, do you know this lady called Fiona Hoddle? He said, I baptised her last Sunday. Amen. Where it started with her was reading the Gospel, reading, sowing the seed, mixing the yeast, you see? You've got to think small, not big. You've got to think small. I want to encourage you, the small conversations you have with your children, you know, Raisy, with your little kids, talk to them about Jesus, read the Gospel with them. You know? All you guys, with your family, with your friends, read the Gospel, pray with them, start small. Don't worry about all the big problems in your life yet. Don't worry about them. The thing we need is forgiveness. We need God's grace in our life. That's where we need to start. You know, your grandkids, friends at school, friends at work, husband, wife, there's nothing more significant than sowing the seed of the Word of God into their life. That's why I'm optimistic, you see. That's why I'm optimistic. That's why you ought to be optimistic. As Christians, as a church, to be doing that. It's the small things that matter. The small thing. Gospel spoken into our lives, believed, prayed for. That's it. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be confident in God, be confident in His Word, be confident that He's at work. I'll pray for you that that might happen, eh? Let's pray. Lord God, Lord Jesus, thank you for your Word. Thank you that it gives us the promise of forgiveness, the hope of forgiveness, no matter what we've done, the hope of eternity with you. I pray for these guys here today. Maybe there's people who don't know you, don't understand about you. Pray that they'll come to know you through reading the Bible. For those who do, Lord, please help them to trust you, not to be afraid, just to trust you, trust your Word, and to start to invest your Word in their own lives and in the lives of their friends and family. Lord, I pray for Seed Community Church, that you'll help them never to lose sight of that most important small thing and trust you for the big things. Amen.